I love James 1:23-25 that says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, for once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was." It's a great reminder of why we read and study the Bible, to apply it to our lives. So today we are going to take one last look at the exemplary life and prophecies of the book of Daniel and share our top five life lessons from this incredible book. Welcome to Christ in Prophecy. I'm Tim Moore, Director and Senior Evangelist for Lamb and Lion Ministries. With me today is my friend and co-host Nathan Jones, our Internet Evangelist. Lamb and Lion Ministries is a non-denominational ministry whose purpose is to help you study, understand, and apply the lessons of Bible prophecy to your life today as we encourage people to look for our soon-returning King, Jesus Christ.
That's right, Tim. Over the last 4 weeks, we've been attempting to do that through the book of Daniel. If you've missed any of these previous episodes as we've covered the book of Daniel, visit our website at christinprophecy.org. We've got them all archived there. Well, as we've been taking a deep dive into the book of Daniel, which is arguably one of the most extended prophecies that previews God's timeline for the end times, we begin to peel back the mystery of Daniel's sweeping prophecies with an overview of the book from beginning to the end. Then, in our second episode, we reviewed the historical portions of Daniel, literally his story. Daniel and the other young Jews were brought to Babylon to serve in Nebuchadnezzar's court. And in spite of threats and persecution, Daniel, along with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which are better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, persevered and thrived in the pagan empire. They endured a fiery furnace and a lion's den as they bore consistent testimony to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In our third episode, we explained the prophecies that have already been fulfilled and compared God's words to the historical record. The succession of empires represented by Nebuchadnezzar's mighty statue and Daniel 4's beasts, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, have already risen and fallen once again. The incredible series of prophecies focusing particularly on Alexander the Great came to pass so accurately that scoffers have tried to discredit Daniel as a book of prophecy, asserting that it was written after the fact, but has been proven authentic again and again. Last week, we turned our attention to the prophecies in Daniel that still await fulfillment. For instance, both Nebuchadnezzar's statue and Daniel's four beasts foretold a final world empire that would arise when 10 kings emerged from the territory of the Roman Empire. We recognize that the final week, Daniel said, would come after the Messiah is cut off, still lies in the future, along with the emergence of the prince who is to come, an obvious reference to the Antichrist. Given Daniel's perfect track record for accuracy, we can absolutely trust that these prophecies will also come to pass.
Before we move on from Daniel, it's appropriate to spend one more week applying life lessons from this great prophet. The parallels between his experience and our own are multiplying year by year, and there is much to learn from this mighty man of God. So in just a moment, we'll jump into the top five life lessons from the book of Daniel.
4 decades ago, Lamb and Lion Ministries was launched by Dr. David Reagan. And today we are continuing his legacy and proclaiming the soon return of Jesus Christ to an international audience through TV, radio, and online. We're fulfilling the great calling to proclaim the truth of Scripture from beginning to the end. Find out more when you go to christinprophecy.org.
You know, Daniel is the only character in Scripture with an extended biography who does not manifest clear character flaws and overt sin, except perhaps Ruth. He lived in a pagan land where he and other faithful Jews were clearly in the minority and were resented and attacked by jealous, misguided foes. In our study of Daniel, we've uncovered five life lessons from this exceptional servant of the Lord to apply to our lives today. Nathan, I'd say application number one has to be that Daniel's service was faithful and true.
Absolutely. Here's Daniel, a Jewish nobleman who's exiled as a teenager out of his land. He's forced to work in a pagan land under a pagan king who had abused his people and destroyed his home city. And yet, he didn't really serve Nebuchadnezzar per se. He knew he served a higher power. He served God Almighty. And so he served Nebuchadnezzar very well because he was serving God. He was faithful and true in all that he did. He could also distinguish between the difference between serving a pagan king and not falling under doing pagan things because his ultimate king was God Almighty.
You know, it's also instructive to me that Daniel did not bemoan his own fate or his own circumstance. He just said it was the will of God for us to go into exile, for me to be carted off into exile. And so he did not have a pity party or say, woe is me. He just got busy serving the Lord, even in a pagan land. And we recognize in terms of application that Christians are quickly becoming the minority here, even in our own culture. Sometimes we seem to exist under what we call cut flower Christianity. In other words, our culture is kind of continuing on the steam of past generations and the blessings that flow, but we've cut off the roots of our own Christian heritage. And so Christians today are labeled as troublers of our society and impediments to progress. And yet, we are also, like Daniel, called to be faithful and true, even serving in a pagan land.
And Daniel was persecuted for it. Matter of fact, there was many plots by – he was put in charge of all the sorcerers and astrologers. Can you imagine being a man of God and you're in charge of a bunch of occultists, you know, basically witch doctors, and they hated Daniel for it because Daniel was always given the true interpretations by God and they were shown to be charlatans. Many times they plotted Daniel's downfall, but Daniel always depended on the Lord. The Lord always rescued him, and these enemies were always defeated. And I think, Tim, that's a good example for Christians today. You know, we don't kowtow to culture. We don't become part of society hoping to be overlooked. We stay true and faithful to God, and God will give us the victories.
And that brings us actually to application number two. Daniel believed God and trusted in his promises. He knew that what God had said to previous prophets would come to pass. As a matter of fact, he studied the prophet Jeremiah to understand even the length of time that the Jews would be in exile. So Daniel, again, didn't just dwell on his own circumstances in the moment. He trusted the word of God, and it gave him an eternal perspective.
And it must have been tough for Daniel, too. I mean, at one point, the angel had come to Daniel and give him these mind-blowing prophecies, and Daniel's kind of scratching his head like, I don't understand this. And the angel says, well, basically, you're not going to understand it because these are future events, and these events have to be fulfilled before they can be understood. So he basically says, Daniel, go your own way. So he trusted God, still believed, even though he didn't understand.
You know, and I think there's another exemplar, that being Abraham, who models the same attitude that even if the promises are not fulfilled in my lifetime, yet I will trust in the Lord. Daniel seemed to be told several times that he would not have clear understanding, that some of the prophecies would not be fulfilled in his life, and that did not give Daniel any sense of, well, I guess I just won't trust anymore. He knew God would be faithful, even if it took additional generations. And today, I think, Nathan, you and I have every expectation that the Lord is going to come soon. So many of his prophecies are being fulfilled in our lifetimes, but if he tarries, I still trust in him, and I want to pass down to my children, my grandchildren, the expectation and the assurance that they can trust in his promises as well.
Oh, absolutely, Tim. So, folks, application number one, Daniel's service was faithful and true. Application number two, Daniel believed God and his promises. Here's the third one, Daniel studied God's word.
You know, that's exactly right. I've already said that he read the prophet Jeremiah to understand the length of the exile, namely 70 years. He recites that in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. But he also shared biblical insights with the pagan people of Babylon and Medo-Persia. And so we believe that Daniel, through his own understanding that was gained from the Word of God, was able to bless those pagan peoples, and they came to have an appreciation for the true and living God. Obviously, Nebuchadnezzar himself came to recognize that God Almighty is God.
And what's fascinating is as Daniel studied and taught God's Word, that would become what would eventually be known as the Magi or the wise men. Daniel's prophecies would extend down through the centuries so that the wise men would make that four-month trek to see the star of Bethlehem, knowing that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. So it's amazing how Daniel, by staying faithful to God, brought God, understanding of God, understanding of the Messiah, and eventually Christianity, that's where I was going there, to eventually understand it by leaving those prophecies with his disciples.
Well, Nathan, so far we've shared just the first three of five life lessons from the book of Daniel that we're going to discuss, and so we'll be right back with the remaining two in a moment. But first, we're going to take a look at current events and give you a biblical perspective in a segment we call What's Really Going On. Stay tuned.
There's a simple key to understanding Bible prophecy, and it's found in Revelation 19:10, which says, "The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Everything God has revealed in the Bible points to Jesus from the beginning to the end times. Indeed, all of human history is His story. And the future is His as well, because Jesus is returning soon. Find out more when you go to ChristInProphecy.org.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy Radio. Today we're still in the book of Daniel, applying some life applications from his life to what we are living through today. And yet we want to talk about what's really going on relative to current events that we can gain insight even from the book of Daniel. So Nathan, share with us some of the things that you've seen just recently in the news.
Okay, well, if we go back to the last segment, we learned an application that Daniel's service was faithful and true, and also Daniel studied God's word. So here we've got this interesting story by Edtime Headlines. A pastor kicked off stays for criticizing strip show-like performance at a mega church event. So get this, there's a men's conference called Stronger Men's Conference. It was held in Springfield, Missouri at James River Church, and they brought a male stripper up in front of the audience, and he began doing this presentation stripping off his shirt. A visiting pastor went up on stage and condemned it and said, "Hey, this is pornographic. It should not be at a church service." The pastor of the church kicked the visiting pastor off the stage, took him out for a half hour, explained that he had done the wrong thing by not approaching him first. In other words, he put it on the pastor, and then made that pastor go back up on stage and apologizing for stopping that service. Tim, that is so backwards in the way of thinking. We know as Christians that modesty is important. Our Christian ethic is important. As men, we're supposed to be role models. We're not supposed to be male strippers on stage. And yet we're living in a time period of apostasy where a church condemns a man for standing up for what is right.
You know, so many times in our society, people who do stand up for right are condemned, criticized, ostracized. I think of Jack the Baker, the man from Colorado who only wants to make cakes for people, blessing events and special occasions, and yet the left, especially the radical homosexual and LGBTQ folks, have singled him out for scorn, for ridicule, and for legal action. And so one after the other, they've come in and demanded that he make a cake celebrating pagan, wicked practices. And when he refuses because of his Christian beliefs, they haul him off to court. And yet Jack has been faithful. He has tried to stay true. He's not sought confrontation, but he has not yielded even when confrontation came to him. And that is following in the footsteps of Daniel. I think it's very important to recognize that we can say words, but even our life bears testimony, and the life testimony we bear has to match the words we utter in pointing people to Jesus Christ through the gospel of Christ.
Amen. And it's hard to be a representative of Christ when the world hates you and wants you dead. And that's what happened with Daniel many times. He was thrown in a lion's den. Tim, another sad story from the Christian Post. It's a story about a Christian man killed in Uganda. He was an evangelist, only 32. His name's Ronald Tuno Mugisha, and he was threatened by text messages from a number of Muslims. Now, in Uganda, Islam is only about 12% of the population, but four Muslim men hacked him to death for sharing the gospel. And he was heard crying out, I'm just trying to share Jesus. I'm just trying to share Jesus. So there's times when we're living in this pagan culture, Satan wants us dead. He doesn't want this great message of salvation out. And we're sometimes having to willingly give up our lives for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
We sure are. And folks, the sad thing is, even in this formerly Christian nation, we are seeing Christians set apart and ostracized and again persecuted. We are familiar with an Iranian pastor who came to the United States hoping to have the freedom to share the gospel of Christ. He went to the Mall of America in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and as he was eating lunch in the food court with a friend, he was asked to share his testimony, and he did, gladly telling them about Jesus Christ and the saving power of the gospel. But someone a few tables away was offended, and so they complained, and the mall cop came and arrested this man, taking him to the mall jail and eventually having him hauled off to the actual jail to be persecuted and prosecuted for doing what? For sharing his faith in the Mall of America. Folks, it's happening more and more even in our land. And yet we are called to be true. And whether we are saved or not, as the three who were thrown into the fiery furnace said, they said, "O King, we know our Lord is capable of delivering us, but even if he does not, let it be known that we are not going to worship your gods or worship the golden image you have set up." We need to stay faithful and true, knowing that our God has the power to deliver us. He will deliver us from the wrath to come. But even if he does not in the short term, we will stand firm on the rock. Hi, this is Tim Moore. With the presidential election looming and signs of the times multiplying all around, we want to encourage you to attend our annual Lamb and Lion Ministries Bible Conference coming up Friday evening and Saturday, June 14th and 15th. You'll hear powerful speakers like Pastor Jack Hibbs and former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, and I'll be there too. This year's theme for the annual Lamb and Lion Ministries Bible Conference is Nation in Freefall. Come get an honest, biblical perspective about what's really happening in America and around the world as we share insights from Bible prophecy. You'll be encouraged by our blessed hope, even in such a time as this. Join us in person for the annual Lamb and Lion Ministries Bible Conference in Denton, Texas, or watch the live stream. For more information or to register to attend in person, go to christinprophecy.org/events. I'll hope to see you there.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy Radio with Tim Moore and Nathan Jones. We've already shared the first three life applications we can learn from Daniel. Now we're going to jump back into the five life lessons from Daniel.
You know, having gone through three, let's jump right into application number four. Daniel repented. And obviously, Daniel repented, even though we've already said Daniel didn't have any obvious character flaws. And yet, Daniel took personal responsibility for the sinfulness of his people. Brothers and sisters, we would assert that even if you have not overtly committed any grievous sins, all of us have probably committed sins of omission. As our world spirals into wickedness, how often have Christians stood by silently instead of speaking out in truth to try to warn those who are willfully headlong heading toward destruction? And so, whether sins of commission or omission, Daniel modeled a contrite heart, and the Lord recognized and honored his humble spirit.
He was burdened by his people's sin. I mean, after all, that's why they were in exile. Decades, if not centuries, of rebelling against God put the Jewish people into exile in Babylon. And here we find in Daniel 9:3 that he gave his attention to the Lord to seek him in prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I mean, he wasn't just going through the motions, was he, Tim? He was absolutely serious about just, Lord, Lord, please forgive us. And what a represent. I mean, how many of us Christians today sit there and say, Lord, our nation has sinned. Please forgive us. Forgive us. Because we are members of those nations. We are citizens.
Yeah, too often we like to think, Lord, forgive them, for they are a sinner.
Yes.
Instead of having a right, contrite heart, Lord, thank you for your forgiveness of me, but forgive us where we err and fall short. And so Daniel becomes a foreshadow of Christ in that this great prophet was an intercessor, and he personally took responsibility for the sins of his people, just as Jesus Christ took personal responsibility for the sins of the world, and Nathan, for your sins and mine as well.
Absolutely. And it's interesting why Daniel, when he repented of his people's sins, that's when God responds and gives message. Daniel 9:22-23, well, the angel told him, I have come for to give you insight with understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. So give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision. Tim, I've always wondered if we as a nation repented and called the Lord to forgive us of our sins, how he would reveal himself to us.
You know, a lot of people like to point out the passage from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14,
yes,
on the National Day of Prayer. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And part of humbling ourselves is recognizing that we too are at least living amongst a people of unclean lips, to quote Isaiah, and that we have a corporate responsibility to be humble before the Lord God. But this brings us again to our final application we're going to talk about today, and that is that Daniel trusted God. He trusted God with his own life. He trusted God in the midst of his circumstances. He trusted God even looking forward to a future that was at times unclear to him as a great prophet.
And it must have been very hard for Daniel, because Daniel, unlike most people, maybe his contemporary Jeremiah and Ezekiel, were given these profound prophecies from God about the future and about society and the Lord's ultimate victory, and he couldn't understand them. And brother, I don't know about you, but I read portions of the Bible, and even though I'm asking for the Holy Spirit's guiding, I just don't understand them. And that's where we point where we just have to follow Gabriel's advice, Daniel, go your own way. Just in other words, trust in the Lord. And that's what Daniel did. He didn't understand saying. You know, he didn't rack his brains, although he was probably very perplexed. He just didn't understand. There's times where we don't understand as well, but that's where we like that old hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey.
That's a great word, Nathan. I'm reminded of the man who came to Jesus, and Jesus said, do you believe? Or asked the question, do you believe? And he said, I do believe. Help me my unbelief.
Yes.
And sometimes we do understand certain things. Help me the things I don't understand, or let me just trust in you. The Lord revealed through Moses that there are things that are revealed to us. They belong to us. God wants us to have understanding and discernment. So as the writer of Hebrews records in Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25, that in the end times, people will be able to encourage each other and all the more as they discern the day of the Lord drawing near. At least Christians will discern the day of the Lord drawing near. So we're expected to have discernment. For those who have eyes to see, ears to hear, the signs of the time should not come as a complete surprise. And yet there are things that simply we cannot understand. I don't know about you, Nathan, but I have a smaller than average brain. And if the Lord tried to fill me with all his knowledge, I think my head would explode anyway.
All of us. It'd be like trying to pour an ocean into a thimble, right?
There you
go. Just couldn't. And the Lord does reveal much of himself through his word, the Bible. That's why we need to get in the word and read it. That's how we connect and understand God better. But if he was to dump all of his knowledge into our heads, we just couldn't do it. Well, Tim, I love how Daniel, near the end, Daniel 12, 13, he says, Daniel was able to enter into rest because he was confident God caused him to rise again for his allotted portion at the end of the age. And isn't that true? We read in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 about the overcomers. In other words, those who stayed in the faith. Here, Daniel stayed trusting God. He stayed faithful. And in the end, he would receive his allotted portion, his eternal rewards. And that gives me such peace and hope that I can't understand everything about God. I don't understand why the world's going like it is, but I just trust the Lord. And in trusting, we can have that faith that one day we'll be at peace and we'll have those eternal rewards.
So as Job testifies, even as he is enduring a life of tremendous trial and tribulation, little t tribulation, Job testifies, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Regardless of the circumstance of this life, I will trust in the Lord God. Well, as a quick recap of the five life lessons from Daniel, we've talked about how Daniel's service was faithful and true, how Daniel believed God and his promises, how Daniel studied God's word, how Daniel repented, even on behalf of his people, and how, finally, Daniel trusted God.
Well, we're so glad, folks, that you could be with us today. Tim's going to come back in just a moment with a word of encouragement. Stay tuned.
As we wind down this series on the book of Daniel, there is so much more we could say, but we hope that we've whet your appetite to jump into God's Word and study it for yourself. If you want to do that through our website at christinprophecy.org, you'll find a wealth of material that we can't possibly dive into in our short programs on radio. So where do we go from here? Well, there's never a lack of material for us to dive into from God's prophetic Word. In the weeks to come, we're going to go back to the future once again. We are going to unpack the book of Revelation. Before that, we're going to talk about what's happening in Israel and some of the contemporary events that were foretold in God's prophetic word long ago. We will hope to again whet your appetite and point you to our soon returning King as we explore not only the things that are happening today, but his revelation of the things which must soon take place. For now, we hope that our review of Daniel has been a great blessing to you. We hope that it has reaffirmed or kindled your anticipation of God's fulfillment of all his prophetic word. As we seek understanding, we hope that you too will seek and gain understanding, trusting in the Lord to reveal things that even the great prophets could not discern without the blessing of hindsight. I find encouragement in God's revelation of things to come to a pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar, who was given a vision in order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whom he wishes and sets it over the lowliest of men. We know that Daniel's life as an exemplary was instructive to Nebuchadnezzar, to Darius, and to Cyrus. By the end of his life, even the king was hoping that Daniel would not succumb to being thrown in a den of lions and trusting that Daniel's God would deliver him even from that great threat. We are all lowly men, but God has given us his wonderful prophetic word, and he has promised that soon his son will come to reign over the earth from Mount Zion. With anticipation for that glorious day, all of us here at Lamb and Lion Ministries cry out, "Maranatha! Come, Lord Jesus, come!" Godspeed.